Chapter 11, Singapore. I talked to Jonathan from Kawaii Kimonos for over a year about my trip. He had been excited to sponsor me, and we had been on Skype numerous times to talk about the design of my geese. I had never actually met him in real life, but now he was waiting for me in Singapore airport. He lived in Bali and was traveling around Asia for business and had made sure to be in Singapore to hang out with me. We met in the arrivals hall. Eric and Liam, my two friends from home who were supposed to meet us there, were nowhere to be found. An hour or so later, there was still no sign of them. Their phones were off, so I assumed they had run out of battery and gotten too tired of waiting for us. Singapore is a small place, so we could find them later. We took the train to the city and sat on a beach at a small burger place. I was still badly dehydrated from being sick in Borneo, and the diarrhea pills made me nauseous. The city looked really nice and clean, and tall skyscrapers of glass and mirrors surrounded us. It was like a cleaner, tropical New York. Jonathan spotted a tall Brazilian guy walking past us in the crowd and got up to catch up with him. It was Gordinho, one of the instructors at the Evolve gym. He shook my hand, but didn't seem very friendly towards me. I was wearing a Brasa t-shirt I got from Turkey and wondered if there was some politics involved there, or maybe it was just all inside my head. He invited us to come train with the instructors in the noon class the next day. It sounded like a good opportunity to get tapped out, and we were not going to let that pass, so we agreed to drop by. A few hours later, Eric finally called back. They had given me the wrong dates and were still in Amsterdam. It sounded like they had just woken up from a mad party and were desperate to reach the airport in time. Jonathan stayed at a friend's apartment. I would be staying with an old friend from Denmark. He was working and wasn't off work until the evening, so we had some time to kill. The place where Jonathan's friend lived had a pool, and we decided to jump in the water for a bit. We sat by the pool and chatted for an hour. Jonathan had grown up in California, then moved to Hawaii and fallen in love with surfing. After seeing enough photos of Bali in surf magazines, he finally decided to move there permanently. That's where he set up a small factory producing super light ripstop geese, great for the warm, humid weather and easy to travel with. They fitted my trip perfectly. Eric and Liam looked very tired from the long flight when they met me the next morning on the corner of an exceptionally clean street. I gave both of them a big hug. It was so nice to see someone from home, and I couldn't wait for them to join me on the adventures in Singapore and Bali. They had been playing a big part in the competition team I'd set for the European Championships. 6 months earlier, they had been hobbyist white belts, but joining the competition project, they had upped their training to a whole new level, and I was really proud to give them their well-deserved blue belts after the Europeans. Now they were taking their skills to the test in the big world, and I was eager to see them on the mats of the gyms we would visit. They were too tired to join in on the first training and decided just to watch and rest. We were only 8 guys on the mat. I read Gordinho, Brodinho, Shimbika, Magrinho on the collars of the black belts' kimonos. I had never been following jiu-jitsu competitions much, so at that point I didn't know who they were. They looked at me with no facial expression, making me suspect that I was in for a tough afternoon. I was right. Mentally, I was struggling with the intimidation of being on the mat with the seasoned black belts. Physically, I was still low on energy after the food poisoning in Borneo. The diarrhea pills made me feel dizzy, but there was no room for whining. The least I could do was to give it my best and not waste their time. After all, they had been kind enough to invite me to train for free with them. After a short warm-up, we went straight to the positional drills. Brodinho, one of the smaller guys, got in the top mount position on me. It was my job to try and escape, and his to submit me. We clapped hands. I tried a little smile, but got no reaction back. Fuck, here we go, I thought to myself. Immediately, he slammed on a crossface and squeezed my face with his chest. His was way smaller than me, but the power of his grip was immense. It felt like I had been falling through the ice on a winter lake, and my body had gone into shock after hitting the freezing water. I tried to regain my focus, but all I could think of was how my nose was getting crushed by his chest and that I didn't want it to break. I reached my hand up to defend my face, and it was just a mistake he had been waiting for. He trapped it with his arm and punched his fist into the muscle on the side of my neck. It was nowhere near being a choke, but the pressure on my nose and neck was so hard that it felt like my head was going to explode. I tapped out frenetically and realized that the whole thing had taken under 4 seconds. We clapped hands and I went to the back of the line at the wall. I didn't really want to be on the mats at that point, but I knew that it was training and experiences like that that I would gain a lot from. I manned up and looked at the clock on the wall. It would be at least an hour more of beatings and there was no way around it. The rest of the training pretty much continued like it had begun. The Brazilians tried their best to end my life and I tried the best to survive. It was exactly like that TV show Survivor Man, just with black belts instead of sharks and bears. Shimbika, a big heavyweight with long curly hair, went harder on me than any of them. It seemed like he was doing jiu-jitsu as if he were weightlifting. Before every move, he accelerated his breathing and then exploded into a full speed, full power technique while shouting really loud. I started in mount top on him, and it was like sitting on a rodeo bull with a big countdown timer and a giant spring in the seat. There was no surprise elements in his game. I knew exactly when he was going to explode, and there was nothing I could do about it but just enjoy the ride as I literally went flying through the air from his escape. It must have looked like a cartoon. The strength, technique, and experience these guys possessed were light years ahead of me, so it became an exercise in keeping calm under pressure. At home, I didn't have anyone to push me that much, so as the class progressed, it became more and more obvious to me that I was really getting a lot out of the beatings. My cardio felt fine, and I focused on defending, finding my happy place, and not panicking. There was no way I was going to succeed in any offensive moves against him anyways. I tapped more times than I could count that day. At the end of the class, everyone was friendly. They were laughing and talking to me. Training was over, the lions had eaten. I was glad that I had joined in on their small, closed class, and I walked out of there with a few souvenirs. A big black bruise on my nose, my first ever, and a nice clear red stamp of Brodinho's fist on the side of my neck, knuckles and all. My first training in Singapore was officially in the books. There was no time to waste. After training, we had a quick lunch, then went on to the next gym, and from there directly to the third of the day, teaching a seminar to about 30 people in a cramped, boiling hot room. Singapore had been conquered in record time.